Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whether your business needs cars, vans, or larger commercial vehicles, you can rent from the best lineup in the UK with Enterprise. And with flexible long-term rental, you can get vehicles for as long as you need them, from minutes to months. Whatever the mission, Enterprise's mobility experts can build a bespoke solution to suit your business needs. Visit enterprise.co.uk/business to find out more.
This is TalkSport Daily.
Hello and welcome to another TalkSport Daily podcast with me, Andy Goldstein, that fella off the Andy Goldstein Sports Bar Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. And yes, you're right, the Trans Europe Express Sunday from 9 p.m. Anyway, enough about me. Well, not enough, more about me later on. We begin with Simon Jordan on the press box, or as Simon Jordan likes to call it, Simon Jordan's press. No, he probably just calls it the Simon Jordan. No, Talk Jordan. There you go. On the network, Talk Jordan. He was talking about Spurs with one of their biggest Spurs fans, Danny Kelly.
We've got elite players now commenting in the media and commenting through punditry that are speaking far more candidly than they used to speak. Now, that might be because the decision-making process has been that they're not going to go back into the game. But I am, for one, for a mindset of that's very refreshing, because in the old days, what stayed in the dressing room doesn't come out of the dressing room. That doesn't wash anymore, because you've got top-quality players pointing out Harry Kane is the England captain, and with that comes a degree of scrutiny and responsibility. And I think going to Pochettino, in my mind, is on the cusp of changing his direction of travel. And that's not me looking for clickbait or a soundbite. I think that his time at Tottenham will come to an end sooner rather than later. Not but because he's in a desperate need to depart Tottenham. I just think he's beginning to realise that maybe Tottenham have found their level.
Before the game at the Emirates, he was second favourite with the bookmakers to lose his job in the Premier League.
Staying with the Tottenham Hotspur theme, as Osvaldo Ardiles once said on a record in 1981, I think it was. In the cup for... I won't spoil it, in case you've never heard it. Anyway, Graham Roberts, of course, was captain for Tottenham in 1984 when they lifted up the UEFA Cup, or the UEFA Cup, which was a proper cup then, not like this Europa League nonsense. Anyway, he was on TalkSport 2. He was talking about the fact that he believes, I don't know why, but there is a vendetta, his words, not mine, against Tottenham Hotspur.
This is not going to be Spurs bias in any way, but it was absolutely 100% a penalty. He was brought down by Socrates, and it should have been 3-2.
Well, there's two penalties in 2 weeks. also, I think the Dele Alli one, when he was dragged down and rugby tackled, it's a waste of time of having VAR. If you're not going to use it properly, get rid of it, because it's just ridiculous. Because, you know, anywhere on the pitch, there was less of fouls on the pitch given than there was that one in the penalty area. Anyway, look, it's happened. The referees for the last year now, since Pochettino had a go at Mike Dean at Burnley, have been right against Tottenham.
Do you believe that? You think there is some sort of vendetta then against Spurs?
100%.
Do you?
Yeah, 100%. I think what they've done is they've all ganged up and... you know, they just say, like, just don't give them anything. That's obviously what's happening.
But seriously, Graham, they can't... They'd never get away with surely doing that. I mean, a penalty was given as well.
Yeah, it was a penalty, wasn't it? You can't... Listen, when somebody kicks you in front of the referee, he's good. But the one... Harry Kane is... You know, if you're... When you played the football game, Paul, players lean into you.
Sure.
But you can't physically put your arms around him and drag him to the floor.
Now on to H&J, or Paul and Andy, as some people like to call it. John Motson was their guest, and he revealed that the Palace chairman, Steve Parish, thought Grealish should have had a penalty-ish.
You were at quite a contentious game in the end. You were at Sellers Park for Palace versus Aston Villa.
Yeah, I was, and obviously saw the incident with the naked eye first. Grealish goes into the pen... or into the penalty area as he goes. Zaha pushes him. Then Cahill comes across and he goes and he's tripped, in my opinion. And then he manages to get the ball across to Henri Lansbury, who scores. And just as Villa start to celebrate, we all realise the goal's been disallowed.
Yeah.
And this, I'm giving it as it was in real time.
Sure.
And somebody went, VAR said something? And then we saw the referee with the linesman and the players gather around. And it transpires, we weren't sure at the time, that the referee has penalised Grealish for simulation.
Yeah.
The first person I saw after the game was the Crystal Palace chairman, Steve Parish.
Mm.
And he said, quite disarmingly, no way did he dive.
Oh, no
way did he dive.
Oh, okay.
And he said...
And that's coming from the Palace chairman.
Palace chairman said that there was no question of Grealish diving.
Wow.
And anyway, so then we find out that because the referee blew his whistle an instant earlier... VAT wouldn't have been allowed to have given the goal.
Yeah.
The best they could have done was overrule the simulation argument and given Villa a penalty, I suppose.
What did you think, John? Because obviously you've been in that position as a commentator. When you're watching the game, you see that moment. You almost have to call it straight away as a commentator, in your opinion. Did you think it was a dive or not?
No, it happened so quickly. Mm. It didn't look to me like a dive, and I'm certain it wasn't. But I think now as a commentator, I don't know what you do. You have to wait for the great God VAR to... I mean, and now we just heard in the news Keith Hackett saying they need more training. Well, how long have we been going on with this, Andy?
Mm. No, it's true.
Experimenting.
Do you think, though, that Kevin Friend could have waited longer? Do you think that...
Yeah.
Why did he blow so quickly? Why was he so determined? Why didn't he just... see the play out, then book him for diving.
In hindsight, that isn't VAR's fault. I mean, he was a bit sharp on the whistle. If he'd waited and just... But you see, he thought it was an offence against Grealish, so he had no need to wait and see if Villa scored.
Yeah.
His decision was free kick the other way.
On to the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show, and it was Laura Woods in the hot seat alongside Ian Holloway, and one of their guests was the wonderful James Pattinson.
Joining us now is Australian bowler James Pattinson. What was it like, I mean, to be involved in that test, that third test at Headingley, and for all of its ups and downs for both teams, really? What was it like to actually be there?
It's pretty surreal, I think. Obviously, similar to the first test and the second, there's lots of, ebbed and flowed, and it sort of went in and out of each team's favour, and, both teams, had their backs against the wall at stages during the game. But, and obviously, that last day was pretty exciting. It sort of, we got rooted out early, so sort of felt like that was a big wicket, and then they put on a good partnership, and then we came out after lunch and took a few wickets, so it sort of swung back in our favour. And then obviously Stokes just played an unbelievable innings where, I suppose he, at nine for needing 70-odd runs, he knew that he just had to try and go for it and hit as many runs as he could and hit as many boundaries as he could, and it paid off. And, that's the class player he is. When he's been put in situations like that before, he's come through, obviously, in the World Cup as well. So, I think that's the great thing about playing Test cricket. You're exposed to playing against all sorts of good players, and you challenge yourself, and sometimes things go your way and sometimes they don't. And for us at that time, it didn't go our way. But again, like I said, it's 1-1, in tournament, in series. I've been over here before, after three Test matches, we've sort of haven't been in the race, and at least this year we're really put up a great fight, and to come so close in Headingley was disappointing, but we know that our best cricket is good enough, and if we play that, we can win games.
What about our new bowler? How do you feel he's done? You being a fast bowler yourself, how do you feel Joffre's done for us?
He's done excellent, hasn't he?
In his first games as well, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think he's been exposed to a lot of international cricket now, I suppose, around the world, not just sort of playing for England, but he's been playing at the big stage in the IPL and all that sort of big bash cricket and all that with big crowds. So, he's played in front of a lot of crowds and had a lot of expectation around the world playing T20 cricket. So I think it probably makes it easier for him sort of coming into international cricket having done that. So, he's been obviously challenging for our batters, and I think as a fast bowler, it's good to see the rivalry. We've got really good fast bowlers in our team, and so do they. So, you're obviously always you know, trying to outdo each other and that sort of thing. And I think that's been the highlight of this this series so far, is some of the bowling's been really good and I think made it challenging for the batters. So, you know, I think it's good to watch. Obviously, when Test matches are in you know, the bowler's doing well as a fellow bowler, it's you know, it's good to see.
All right, James, thank you so much for joining us. I feel like I've got to politely say good luck.
We don't mean it. Good luck, mate.
Thank you so much for coming on. Here's to a good series, actually, really. A lovely chat. That was James Patterson. He's one of the Aussie bowlers. And we hope, realistically, that the bowlers in particular don't have a very good performance.
Yeah, we almost want him to not do very well. But
I know,
I'd
but
quite
he's so
like
lovely,
him.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
And the cricket theme continued on Drive, with Darren Goff continuing the cricket theme on Drive. I've just told you that.
Denley's revealed, isn't he, that he's going to be opening and Roy's going down to four.
Well, let's be honest about it. You know my thoughts on Denley. Lovely lad. And I'm really glad he got back into England. Showed terrific fight to get his place back after 10 years out. But everybody's saying how great he is. He's averaged 24 in the series, batting at four. So that's not worked, really. I know it was a fighting 50. He could have got out a lot at Edinley, but at the end of it, he set it up by showing some fight, which I really enjoyed watching him do. He's averaged 24 at four, so stick him up top, see if he gets any better there. The frightening stat about, you know, opening, in the last 4 years, he's scored one century opening, and he's only passed 50 once in 14 innings opening the batting.
Blimey.
So that's a strange one. It's almost like they've thrown him an hand grenade and said, if anybody's going to get dropped from this team, let's throw Denley in against the new ball, because we like what we see about Roy, so let's give him now a chance at four to see if he can get the runs. Probably where he should have been batting in the first place. Roy's averaged 9 opening the batting, but he's kept his place. So England obviously rate him. They've seen something about his game. They've gave him an opportunity at the top, which he does in one-day cricket. Not worked so far, so let's give him a chance now at four, rather than make changes, rather bring in Zach Crawley, rather bring in Sibley, rather than bring back James Vince, rather than bring in the youngster Ollie Pope. It looks like they're going to give him the first dabs at number four.
Paul Hawksby here, and you're listening to TalkSport Daily.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even on a budget? Quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of the TalkSport Daily is brought to you by Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Planning to hire or share a car or van? Enterprise is there every step of the way. Whenever and wherever you need a vehicle and whatever it's for, Enterprise can help. With over 450 locations across the UK, they're just around the corner. Whether you need a weekend rental, a holiday hire, a replacement car, or you're planning a business trip, home or away, Enterprise are there to help. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Back to Agent J now, and the J part of that was talking about Frank Lampard's substitutions, and he thinks some of them have been questionable. I mean, what's the point? That sounds nothing like him.
If you're trying to shore up a game, don't bring on Batshuayi because his first touch is worse than mine. The ball will just come straight back. You know, he's all right if you're chasing a goal.
Yeah.
You get Giroud on, he'll hold the ball up, he'll win free kicks, he'll defend. You know, he's good at defence. And you had to bring on Christensen as an extra defender, you know, to recognise that Aspilicueta, I mean, he's given away 8 goals this so far this season. Wow. A bit responsible. And Tony Cascarino's picked up on it and said, oh, he just looks tired. Looks like he could do with a real spell, you know. And so, he's, you know, I would have brought him on and try and, you know, basically shore it up a bit. But in the end, these are the things that you have to learn. It's all about, you know, we all make mistakes. It's all about learning from it, you know. It
certainly is.
And when you're 2-1 up and you've got to 85 minutes, you know, I think it's time to see the game out. Basically, that's what, you know, Jose Mourinho would have done that. He would have brought on a defender, an extra defender.
Yeah.
Most managers would.
On to the wonderful Jim White Show alongside Jamie O'Hara. And one of their key discussion points was whether or not you should support your own local side rather than go glory hunting, like being born in London and then support Manchester United. It's a bit embarrassing.
If you've got a good local team on your doorstep that's 10 minutes away or 15 minutes away that you can go and watch,
yeah,
there should be no excuse for you not supporting that team. Why would you support a team 200 miles away when you've got a perfectly good team like Millwall or Charlton or Palace at a push on your doorstep that you can go and watch and support your local team? Mm. Where's the pride in a team you support 200 miles away winning something? The pride is in when you support your local team. Now,
I'd agree with that.
Only 17% of fans support their local team. That is
17.
That is so low. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
And I just, is it ever okay for Southerners to support a Northern team and vice versa? Because I think the number one thing that should dictate who you support is where you are born, and that should be the number one factor of who you support. I know there are things like someone's dad supports someone, or your dad comes from Manchester, or your dad's from Liverpool, so you support them. But 17% is ridiculously low for me. When Millwall got to the FA Cup final, there was a great sense of pride in South London. And, you know, there was an open top, bit of a parade in Lewisham and stuff like that. It was nice to be part of.
I was always a Tottenham fan. I mean, but I grew up in Bermondsey. So all my family are Millwall fans. And I always say my kind of other team that I love to look at and always keep on is Millwall, just because it's where I was from. Mm. Yeah. But my dad was a Spurs fan. So I supported Spurs, you know, and that's always been my team. So I can kind of understand it.
17% of fans support their local team. So is it ever okay for Southerners to support a Northern team or vice versa? If so, why? I mean, as you rightly say, Joe, you can understand if your father, say, was from Newcastle and you've moved maybe to Wales, but you'll probably still end up supporting Newcastle because your dad supported Newcastle.
Mm. Yeah, but surely, even then, though, Jim, you know, like, you shouldn't always follow what your dad does. Look, if you've got a local team that you can go and watch week in, week out, why would you support someone that you can't go and see? I don't understand it.
This is the biggest thing that we've got going on at Billericay. This is a massive thing now because, obviously, Glenn and the club are trying to build Billericay and build that community with fans. And they used to get like 100 to 200 fans, Billericay. Right. Now we're getting close to 800. Big games, we get 1,500 fans. And we're always looking at how can we get more fans and more people to come in and support the local side. And at first we thought it was sign the big name players, which works for a bit, but then that drifts off. In actual fact, what we're doing now is we're going around all the schools. You know, you go around all the local schools. Mm. We go in, I go in, get some other players to come in, and we do talk about Billericay, talk about, you know, other things and being a footballer. And we give them tickets to the game. To, you know, give them free tickets to come with their mum and dads to come and watch a game.
Great incentive.
And it's a great incentive to help build that up, you know, because I think I 100% agree with you, you know. If you come and go and watch Billericay, it can be just as exciting as going and watch, you know, an Arsenal-Tottenham game, because they are great. Some of the matches are brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's so much more up and close and personal.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here's Paul, a Leicester fan, actually, on this very topic. Paul, good afternoon.
Yeah, that's it. I've always thought so passionately about this. The club chooses you. And when you grow up, part of your fabric and your early school years and it's the people you associate with, it's all within your city. Mm. And it's almost, historically, we've always pulled you away from it. You've done my other teams. I support the other teams in the Champions League, the English side. So it's all straight down the line. But the club chooses you. And that is it. And so wherever there's a situation now, I've been in where this thing and this guy's is sporting, the guy that walks in who's in a shirt, i.e. probably Barry or something, you know that guy's going to be from there.
Yes. Yeah.
And if all people probably looked after, where they're from and put the sport on the gate, some of these clubs probably won't be in the situations that they are. Oh, I care so passionately about it.
I'm Darren Goff and this is TalkSport Daily.
And on to the last part of this podcast, which is, well, I won't spoil it for you, but I've got a letter here. Dear Andy, loving the TalkSport Daily podcast, but I have to be honest, I fast-forward most of it until we get to the best bits of your show, The Sports Bar, Monday to Thursday from 10 p.m. Absolutely love it. One of the best... Anyway, that goes on for a couple of... Anyway, here are the best bits of The Sports Bar.
All aboard! Tickets, please. Tickets.
Talk about whatever you like. Can't be sport, politics or religion. Nothing too serious.
So we have a little walk down to our village on a Thursday night and we go into a quiz. The problem is, it's a little quiz and everyone goes in and gets involved. And we went in the first night a few weeks ago and we came second. The reason we came second is because we were cheating. We were googling all
that's
the
fine.
Answers.
That's fine. Nothing.
And we've done it every week so far.
Yeah, that's fine.
And we've done really well. And a couple of weeks ago we won and we got 12 free drinks. There's only two of us. Yeah. And we were beating guys like bearded guys with six people in each of the team.
Yeah.
And there was just us two and we were winning and we were doing really well.
Yeah.
And then we won the quiz.
Yeah.
And we won the free drinks.
Right.
And anyway, the quiz master has now said he's going to change it and he's going to do like a fastest finger first and it's going to go on mobile phones so no one can Google.
Right.
We think we're going to come last.
Right.
And we're really embarrassed and we don't know what to do. Do we not go in anymore? Do we keep going in? We don't know what to do.
What's the name of the pub?
What's your advice?
What's the name of the pub?
I can't tell you that.
Why not?
They might be listening.
Oh, they won't be listening. No one listens.
What's I think you'll find millions.
Well, we listen to you all the time.
What's the name of the village? So this is it. You're Googling it, aren't you? You're Googling where you live.
Clint, who's your favourite presenter on TalkSport?
Definitely not Cundy.
Why? That's a bit harsh. Why not?
This is more to do with... It was a little while ago... and it was we can't talk about that particular subject.
Oh, I see. You said something about...
You'll just cut me off.
Right.
I won't cut you off.
Go on. Go there.
Clint, I won't cut you off. Go on, what did he say? Go on, I won't cut you off. You have my word.
It was more to do... But as soon as I mentioned...
No, Clint, don't fall for it. I'm a man of my word. Go on, Clint.
Don't do it, Clint. He wants to cut you off.
Clint, I've
don't
given you
it.
My word.
Clint. Don't do it.
Clint, I've given you my word. Go
it,
on.
It was to do with...
Don't, Clint. Don't be stupid. Clint.
No, let I can't give you my word in the Midnight Train. It's madness.
I mean, Clint, come on. You know who I'm dealing with.
There you go. Another TalkSport Daily podcast done and dusted to put on your bookshelf. If you had a bookshelf and you could put podcasts on it, which you can't and you haven't, so forget everything I've just said. If you haven't pressed subscribe, do so now so this thing arrives free in your inbox tomorrow morning. Not this one, because you've already heard this one, but the next one. And if you haven't pressed subscribe, you're an absolute idiot, because I keep saying at the end of every podcast to press it. And if for some reason you're not doing it, then either you've got a problem with me or you're just stupid and you can't find the subscriber. It's very simple. Just press subscribe, all right? Otherwise, you and I are going to fall out and I'm going to stop doing these because your ignorance and that damn light petting. Anyway, thanks for listening. Have a wonderful day. Be safe, everyone. Be safe.
That was a podcast from TalkSport.
The TalkSport Daily Podcast is proud to be in partnership with Enterprise Rent-A-Car. Whatever your mission, home or away, don't delay. Enterprise has the vehicle for the job. Rent from the best lineup in the UK. With over 450 branches, Enterprise has what your business needs. From compact three-door cars to spacious SUVs and people carriers to vans, they offer a large range of reliable vehicles perfect for the job. To find out more and book, visit enterprise.co.uk.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.